True love is motivated for another. See, that's the issue of the heart. The issue of the heart is revealed right there. It's motivated for another. When we allow Him to do something in our lives, when we allow Him to do something in our lives to minister to another, just simply because we chose to give Him that place. Recognizing that we're doing it not for ourselves, we're not doing it for recognition. There's no need for recognition because our recognition comes out of this abundance of love. But we can do this because of the abundance of what He puts in us. Kathy, can you come and just share just the short version of Clarence? Amen.
When I was doing the street ministry before I came to HRC, there was a man, Clarence, on the street who had schizophrenia. And Clarence, you know, he was okay as long as he took his medicine. If not, then he was pretty angry. But anyway, he called me one day, and we were getting ready to go out on the street and minister, me and this young kid, Daniel, who also went out on the streets with me. And Clarence had called saying that he had came to be in the hospital and he had a staph infection, and would I go see him? And he didn't have any family to go and see him. So, but when he called me, I actually didn't really want to go. Because I wanted to go and do street ministry. That's where my heart was. And so actually, to just be honest, I was going to do like a checklist to just go see him because I knew it was the right thing to do and he didn't have anybody to go see him. But my heart wasn't really to go minister to Clarence. So when me and Daniel went to the hospital, we walked into the hospital room, and so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to say this anointed prayer, and then we're going to get out really quick and then go do what I really wanted to go do. And then I would do my little checklist. And so I get in the room, and I'm like, hey, Clarence, good to see you. You know, you're looking good. Is there anything that I can do for you? And I wasn't expecting him to say yes. And so he was like, well, you know, by the way, I haven't been able to take a bath in 3 days because of the staph infection on my arm. And I'd like somebody to comb my hair. And he had long hair down to about like here. And it was real thin. And it was like just matted. And it was really nasty. Like, and plus he stunk. I mean, it just stunk. And I didn't want to do it. And so I was like, oh, well, I think I can get the nurse to do that for you. I'm sure we can get somebody. Let me go to the nurse's station and ask, but because I did not want to comb his hair. And so I go to the nurse's station, and all the way to the nurse's station, I'm like, please don't let him have a comb. Please don't let him have a comb. Please don't let him have a comb. And so I was like, I asked the nurse, do y'all happen to have any comb? No, huh? You know, answering the question already. And she was like, no, I don't think so. He asked before. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, no, wait a minute. We have a travel size in these travel kits. And it's these little black, you know, that little black comb with the prong. So it would have took forever because his hair was so matted. And I didn't want to touch it. And so I grabbed the comb, but the Holy Spirit began to convict me. And so as I was standing there, with the comb, I'm like, okay, now what? I'm going to have to comb his hair. And so I go back in the room, and, you know, a lot of times when you mentor people, they are watching your reaction, like this young kid. You know, he was watching, is she going to comb his hair in love? Because you could just, you know, you could smell it. And anyway, so I walked back in, and so I was like, I guess I have to comb his hair. And I was just, like, not happy. And so, and you could see it all on my face. And so I began to comb it. And then as soon as my comb hit his hair, the anointing fell in the room. And it was just like a holy hush, like came upon the room. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, thank you for combing my hair today. And then as soon as I heard it, I felt convicted in my heart because I didn't want to comb his hair. I didn't look at it that I was combing Jesus's hair. And so as I began to comb, the room was just, even Clarence had sensed it, and he wasn't really aware that things are the spirit, but like nobody spoke a word. And I just was weeping silently, and then I looked at Clarence's face, and he had the glory of the Lord on it, and he's crying. And so I'm like, Clarence, like, why are you crying? And he said, well, you know, I only ever had my mama, and my mom used to comb my hair. And I had prayed and said, Lord, I wish my mom was here or somebody could come and comb my hair like the way my mama used to. And then he sent me. And so that day, I mean, we never did go witnessing, but I just combed Jesus's hair. And I wouldn't have had that encounter with the Lord had I not was obedient. And you know, the Holy Spirit didn't beat me up for not wanting to comb his hair. He just said, thank you for combing my hair today. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that precious or what? Is there anyone among us who can't comb someone's hair? God is looking to extend his love through you to someone. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to do any big act, a supernatural thing. Just comb Jesus' hair. Just comb his hair. Just allow him to minister through you in whatever act it is that's within your capacity to be able to do. This is the nature of the love that God wants to place within us. And it's okay if you don't want to comb his hair up to start with. It's okay if you recognize that he's nasty and filthy. It's okay if you see those things, but follow through. I went on the streets and there was a guy there and he was living in a shopping cart. When I say living in a shopping cart, he was in the shopping cart with all his stuff. He obviously was a drinker and he obviously drank too much. And so he had thrown up all over himself and everything else. And the Lord says, I want you to hug him and lift him up out of that cart. Now, there's nothing in the natural that makes you want to do this. But, you know, when I began to hug him, the love of the Father just surrounded us, and it changed everything that was happening right there. The man found deliverance right then. And I didn't have any way of knowing. But the thing that he had never, ever had, the whole reason that he had all, that he was such an alcoholic and everything else, is because his father had never hugged him. And I was allowed him to move and to hug. These are things that we can do. We can all partake of the agape love and allow it to move through us. It requires a certain amount of surrender of our flesh, a certain amount of selflessness. But see, that's the thing that God can motivate us with. Because see, in that surrender, in that giving him that opportunity, you also find your blessing. You will find a greater encounter with God than you would have had doing the other thing. Because God will make sure that you see and understand his glory in the simplicity even of those acts. We can be the hands and feet. We can motivate one another. And it says, the word in Hebrew says to stimulate one another to love. To stimulate one another to love. And sometimes that's a talking, but mostly it's going to be a doing. Sometimes it's just a being. In other words, being the Son of God. Being in your sonship. Being in the place of allowing love to saturate you to such an extent that the atmosphere around you begins to touch other people. This is what he's looking for. This is what he's looking for. When true love is motivated for another, when that true motivation comes forth, then there's a releasing of his anointing in your life. There's a releasing because it's not about being at a pulpit. It's not about being on a stage. It's not about any of those things. It's about allowing God's heart to be released in someone's life. so they can hear and know that God is alive. They can hear and know and see that God is real because He's touching them. My brother, one time he went to a prison and they put him into this ward because there was a gentleman there who was a homosexual and had been there and had AIDS and he was about to die. But because of his condition, no one would touch him. And the Lord just said, I want you to give him a hug. And he bent down there and he wrapped his arms around him and he just loved on him. And he said, for 8 months I've been in here and not a single soul has touched me because they were all afraid. You know what? It didn't hurt him a bit. He's still healthy. But love was extended. A love that changed that man's life because, see, as a result of that hug, then he wanted to hear about this Jesus that would have caused him to do that. And he accepted Christ probably just a few months or maybe days before he died. That's why we do this. That's why we're Christians. That's why love comes and motivates us and transforms us so that the mission is carried forth. Because every one of us is on a mission to deliver God's best to someone. We're on a mission, Carl, to deliver God's anointing somewhere. God's looking for a release in you. He's looking for your okay. Say, Lord, I'll send me. When Isaiah heard the situation, he said, Lord, send me, I'll go. Now today you get an opportunity to say, Lord, send me, I'll go. Send me, Lord. I'll hug the unlovable. I'll comb their hair, Lord. I'll fix them a bath, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'll fix them a bath. Whatever it is, share love. Share love. Don't limit yourself to thinking that sharing love is just something you do to the down and out, because sometimes God is going to send you into a boardroom where all the people, the important people are, who are intimidating one another, who are trying to impress one another with all their stuff, and He'll send you in there and say, hey, this is what the love looks like. The Lord shows me what's happening with your son, and this is what the Lord looks like. Know that whatever your situation, no matter where you walk, no matter where you might be in life, that God can move in love through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear and lack, greed and pride are swallowed up in perfect love. Fear and lack, greed and pride are swallowed up in perfect love because there's no motivations. When you're in perfect love, the other motivations, the things that move us, aren't there anymore. Complete trust is made possible in perfect love. Complete trust is made possible in perfect love. Insecurity and doubt flee from perfect love. Grace and peace are the hallmarks of perfect love. There's a release of grace and peace in your life when you operate in this perfect love, in this agape love. And when you operate out of this place of understanding the surpassing love of God, the fullness of His agape in your life, when you understand that fullness in your life, now suddenly grace and peace can come alongside you, Tina. They come alongside you to be released everywhere that you go. The Word says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's not just someone who makes peace between two parties. That's someone who carries an atmosphere of peace. And so that when they step into a room, the room changes. When I worked for Shepherd's Guide, I would sit in a truck for a moment or two just before I would walk in, and I would put on Christ. Because, see, I knew that as I put on Christ, whatever was happening inside that church was going to change. Whatever was happening inside that building was going to change. You know, sometimes you hear some really remarkable things walking up to a church. But the atmosphere The atmosphere will change when you allow Christ to go with you and go before you. No matter what happens, no matter what situation you're in, know that you are an atmosphere changer. Know that you are releasing something into the atmosphere. The hallmark of grace and peace are coming with you because you're walking in an agape love. As you walk in that love, grace and peace come alongside. It's like power twins coming to deal with the situation. Celebrate fellowship with the Father, and you will find perfect love. Not just in worship in a public place. Worship is not about the where or the what. Worship is about the who. When you surrender yourself to just acknowledge Him, that's worship. When you surrender yourself to welcome Him, that's worship. When you surrender yourself to join Him, that's worship. Invite Him into your heart and acknowledge who He is and who He said He is. Look for the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. See, the Lord did this thing. Those things that you just heard. Those all come just from spending time with Him. Just spending time with Him and writing as you sit in front of Him and just write down the things that He says. I'm not smart enough to think of all those things. I don't express things myself that way, but He does. He does. Allow Him to release Himself to you in a place of agape love. Know that the veil is taken away from your heart in the place of agape love. As you turn to face the Lord, say, Lord, I don't know what was going on over here, but Lord, I'm turned away from that and I'm facing You. And Lord, my heart is dead set on You. And my heart is dead set on You. Lord, I'm coming walking into this place called agape. I'm walking into this place of unselfish love. The enemy wants to take your past and terrorize you with it. The Lord wants to take your past and promote you with it. He's going to take those things that the enemy has used against you and sinned against you, and He's going to turn it for good. He's going to take those things that attracted you and kept you going around and around in the same old circle over and over and over, and He's going to show you how to break out of it and how to set others free from that same thing. He's going to make you a victor in that place. He's going to release His victory in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to take those things of the past so they're no longer scary to you. You know, I've shared a bunch of my past with you all over the years. I found that the place of transparency, though, not only helps you to understand our own human frailty, but it also helps me to overcome. And because, see, now, it doesn't matter what somebody has to say about who I was. It doesn't matter what they say about what was going on before, because now I know for a fact I'm not that same person anymore. And I can walk in this place of agape because I no longer have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Become unmanageable. Become unmanageable. There's a need for Christians who will just be not managed. All right? In a good way. It won't no longer be managed by the enemy, where every time the enemy goes, huh, they go, oh! Who will become unmanageable because no longer when the enemy comes with oppression do they go, oh, okay, let me just go that way. No longer being managed by depression, no longer being managed by unworthiness or doubt or unbelief or fear or any of those other things, become unmanageable to those things. No longer be managed by the past. No longer be managed by all the angers and the frustrations. No longer be managed by those situations. But know that your heart is safe in God. That your heart is safe in the agape love that He has. That your heart is safe. And that because your heart is safe, it's looking always onto Him. Become unmanageable in a holy way. In a holy way. In a way that attributes all the success and all the glory to the Father. In a way that releases all the burden and the pain to our Jesus. Become unmanageable. Allow that agape love to so saturate you that every pain and every shame, every issue has now found a place of rest within you. You don't have to wait. There's a lie that the enemy wants to prevail that you have to wait to find your healing. I'm here to tell you that it's not true. You don't have to wait to let go of the shame. You don't have to wait to let go of the pain. You don't have to wait to let go of the emotional unrest. You can have it today because you choose. You can have it today because He's our Lord and our Savior. You can have it today because it's in your destiny. Somehow we get this idea that, you know, I have to suffer through. You know what? Someday you're going to turn to the Lord with it, so why not make that today? Make it today. Because when you turn to the Lord with it today, you don't have to worry about it someday. And I don't have to carry that burden. Isaiah 53. Verse 3. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. There is nothing that you can do to earn any of that. He already paid the price. The chastening was upon Him. He already stood there on your behalf and took those things. So what are we waiting for? Let's let Him have every pain and every shame. Let's let Him have all those things. Because see, as we do so, we're recognizing His sufficiency in our life. There's none of that that you have to do. All we have to do is accept the gift that He's given. We accept the present that we've got called agape love. We accept the grace that's been extended. And because we've accepted that grace, now all those things that used to cause us to bristle don't cause us to bristle anymore. All those handles that the enemy used to turn aren't there to be turned anymore. Because there's an agape love. Because we were able to let everything else go. The Lord showed it to me like this the other day. He showed me a man, you know, those wood carvers? And He showed me a man with a chainsaw just cutting off the wood. And you know what they do when they do that? They cut away everything that's not the image. They cut everything that's not the image that they're wanting to portray. We allow, when we surrender to the Lord, we surrender this agape, we are allowing Him to cut away everything that's not the image of Christ in us. Hallelujah. Come on, then. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let Him cut away the image. Hallelujah.